ラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタタララタラタラタラタタタラ。
Hello and welcome. I'm Helen.
And I'm Caroline.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
Julian Collins joins us today to chat about his sewing journey and the Black Makers Matter Coalition. We discuss how the sewing community can support Black makers and help to ensure companies big and small make it clear that they value their Black customers. Julian also talks about the confidence he gets from wearing handmade garments and his So Manly Facebook group.
Hello, Julian. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, we're so glad to have you. Can you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. So my name is Julian Collins. I can be found at Julian Creates on Instagram, as well as I have a Facebook group called So Manly on Facebook, where we focus on masculine and menswear inspired clothing, as well as you can find some of the work that I help do with Black Makers Matter on Instagram as well.
Wonderful. We're so excited to chat with you about everything you've got going on today. Can you also tell us where you're from and do you have a day job?
Sure. So I am from Cincinnati, Ohio, born and raised, and I work in public health. So I help people quit smoking as well as really help bring about policy change to really bring about a healthier community in my area.
Oh, that is awesome. And tell us a bit more about your sewing journey. How did you learn to sew? Why did you decide to take up sewing?
I come from a family of sewists. So my grandmother sewed, my mother sewed, my grandmother's on both sides sewed. And I was always fascinated with just kind of the puzzle of putting stuff together. So I would just be like staring at them with the fabric and everything like that. I originally started college for fashion design. That was my goal. That didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to. I think I lasted maybe a quarter because we did not actually start sewing until like a year or two later. So I was like, this is not going to be what I need right now, and changed majors into public health. I still was fascinated with the idea of creating clothing and stuff like that. So one day after many years of thinking about it and looking at YouTube videos and stuff like that, I bought a vintage sewing machine and a book from a used bookstore and YouTube, and just kind of said, we're going to try it and see what happens.
Amazing. And when was that? How long ago was that?
So that was in 2016. So I've been sewing for a little over 4 years now.
And did you discover the online sewing community kind of right off the bat, or like how did that come about? When did you get involved in the online sewing community?
So the way that I was connecting to sewing is to really watch YouTube videos of people sewing. I was just fascinated by people putting together clothing. So I always kind of knew that that was there. And then I just kind of looked on Facebook and stuff like that to see what else was available and really start learning about different Facebook groups, especially there were groups for sewing for beginners and different things like that, that really helped connect me. So once I did get into sewing, there were podcasts that I were listening to that had Facebook groups. And that is really kind of what drew me in and made me want to be part of such a vibrant and diverse community.
Amazing. Yeah. And I want to know more about the kind of sewing that you like to do. What kinds of garments do you like to sew? What kind of fabrics do you enjoy sewing? Tell us more about that.
Sure. So I love sewing for myself. I'm a selfish sewer all the way, if I can be. So it's mostly menswear garments. So I love to make bright, bold, classic styles. So that could be trousers in different colors. That could be different button-down shirts that I usually wear for work when I worked in the office, in bright, bold Ankara prints and in prints that were cartoon figures and stuff like that. I love color and I love just to kind of be, hate to call it the center of attention in many ways, but it really makes me feel confident, especially when I have to go out and speak in front of groups of people and stuff like that. Just to wear something that I made that I know the time and effort that I put into it, it just makes you stand taller and feel like a giant and really are able to command a room. So I love doing that.
That's awesome. Yeah, we really enjoy following you and seeing your amazing print collection, especially with your shirts. And I notice you've been rocking the matching mask and shirt look lately, which I just love so much. It's such a cool, fun thing that us sewists get to do with our makes.
Definitely.
I was wondering, like, are you working from home these days? And if so, are you still wearing those outfits to give you that boost of confidence?
So I am working from home. I have been working from home since March, and we are now about to go into August. I usually wear them when I have to do videos. So when I have to do, though I am working from home, I still have a kind of public facing job. So there are videos that I have to do for our YouTube or Facebook Live and stuff like that. And that's when I usually make sure that I pull out a shirt or something that I've made just to kind of boost my confidence and put a pep in my step as I'm talking to people, even though I really can't see people that I'm talking to.
And you only need the shirt too, because it's just from the waist up, right?
Luckily, yeah. So usually it's some type of gym shorts underneath, but the shirt's always going to be on.
Amazing. And you mentioned your So Manly Facebook group. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that? Maybe they would be interested in joining.
Sure. So we are a group of currently around 1,700 people. It is both men and women, where we come together just kind of share makes and tips and ideas for those who are interested in sewing menswear, menswear inspired clothing, masculine presenting clothing, a little bit of everything. And we make sure that people are welcome there. But to really, there are a wide range of skill levels. We have some who are literally master tailors, and then those who are beginners. And we just kind of, as a space where people can come, share their makes, ask questions, learn about different patterns and ideas, and really learn new things and meet new people. I think it's a great way to, especially for if there are men in the sewing community or those who feel that they do not fit into the aesthetic of a dress or everything is a flowery print or something like that, that there's a space for everybody that they can come and be like, hey, this is cool too, and I can really enjoy this.
Yeah, it's so great that you created this group and this resource for people who are wanting to sew more menswear or menswear inspired garments. And it sounds like you're pretty active on Facebook and in Facebook groups. I'd love to know, like, what is it about Facebook that you enjoy engaging on that platform versus something like Instagram, say?
I think because that's where I started, it's just a comfort for me just to be in some of the Facebook groups. There are some really great, well-crafted communities available on Facebook. I do know that, hate to say it, sometimes it can be a gamble. Some of them are better than others, but there are some really great nurturing communities that are make sure that they are intentionally diverse. They make sure that they are LGBT friendly, that I love to be a part of and to learn from people and to also show that, hey, you can be a guy. And so there are a lot of people who use these, especially Facebook groups, to show their sons, show their nephews or something like that, who are interested in clothing design. But sometimes that stigma is still there about men who sew. So I show that you can create what you want. This is a great thing about life. You can really be and create everything that you want to be and not really worry about what others say, because at the end of the day, you have something that nobody else has, and you have a talent that nobody else has and nobody can take away from you that can really be used in many different areas of life. So it's just a great way that I have found to really connect with people. And I've made some really great lasting friendships in these Facebook groups.
That's so great to hear.
I would also love to know if you had suggestions for people who want to sew more menswear inspired clothes, but are just getting into sewing, because of course, I feel like the project that people think of is a button-up shirt, but there's so many steps involved in that. It's a little bit more of an advanced project. So where do you recommend that people start when it comes to sewing menswear?
When it's kind of to start sewing menswear, I guess I was a bit different. So a button-up shirt was my second sewing project ever. I literally bought a simplicity pattern that said easy to sew and thought that it was going to be easy to sew. Which it took me a while. I just literally took it step by step. I think really do not be daunted by the amount of steps each pattern has. Literally at the end of the day, you're just sewing seams together. What I would do is I took my pen and I literally would just tick off each and every single step as I did them. And that really helped make it manageable for me and make it in bite-sized steps. But there are other ideas that you can do. If you want to start, you can start with knitwear patterns such as t-shirts. There are shorts. There are joggers that are a little bit easier than, say, like a tailored garment, like a pair of tailored chino pants or a button-up shirt. But it is possible to do. And when I started, it was some cheap material. I had only a straight stitch machine and a magnetic seam guide to help make my seams look straight. I swear that helps make most things work better for you if you just have the tools that sometimes are called training wheels to help boost up your confidence. But really, it's just putting two things together step by step. So just go for it. And if you need, buy some cheap material and just have fun and play with it.
Oh, that's such great advice. And it's so true when you look at sewing any project as just a series of steps and taking it one step at a time. It really makes it feel a lot less intimidating. And I love your point about just having the right tools, because I've had people say to me before, like, how do you get your top stitching so straight and perfect? And it's like, I'm not doing that by eye. I have a special foot that helps me to get that top stitching perfect, you know? So I think sometimes beginners don't realize that there are some small tools that you can get in your arsenal that will just help your sewing look more professional and you feel more confident approaching those more difficult projects. So I love those points that you made. It's really, really great advice. Thank you, Julian.
Oh, no problem. And definitely. And then I think some people are nervous that even those small tools have to be expensive. And it doesn't. You can literally, there are tips and tricks that you can use that even with things in your house that can just help you get a little bit further in your sewing journey. So definitely take every option that's available to you.
Yeah, definitely. I would also love to know if you have any TNT patterns or favorite pattern designers that you'd want to talk about today.
Well, I love patterns by like Mimi G and her husband Norris. They are some really great men's patterns. I use those a lot. Then there is also freesewing.org. I have used their Simon shirt pattern. I'm actually currently, we're still in July, so I'm doing a Simon shirt sew along with another person on Instagram and Facebook named Kelly. And it's called hashtag Simon Says So. Where we kind of go through the process of this pattern. It is a made-to-measure pattern, so you take your measurements and input them into the system and it drafts the pattern for you, but it's free. So that is a great way to try some different patterns. They have both men's and women's patterns, and I like the way that they delineate the different styles. So they just say with bust or without bust a measurement, just to kind of help delineate and not make it if this is a men's or a woman's pattern. Those are some really two kind of resources that I use. And then I really do try a lot of the different indie patterns now. There are some really great brands out there, even outside of the US and Canada. I look at brands in Germany, in France, and different things like that to really try some of the different patterns, just because there are not always a lot of options in menswear patterns. I try to seek them out to see what's going to work best for me.
And where do you hear about those companies that are offering menswear patterns? Is that something that gets discussed in the Sew Manly Facebook group often?
Definitely. So when we hear about new patterns, a lot of people do post them in that group. There are some different hashtags that I look online, on Instagram, especially like Men Who Sew, Male Sewists of Instagram, Dope Men Sew. That's a way that I do find about men's patterns as well. But then there are some different like databases that do kind of keep an account of some of the new pattern releases that come on the market, such as the Fold Line. I look at their videos and on YouTube, as well as go to their website, and they do have a section of men's patterns that I do check out there. But also too, I'm not afraid to try some of the different pattern drafting tools that are available on the market as a way to get the styles that I want. Or I know that if I see a basic pattern that I know can fit me, there are some tweaks and changes I can make if I really want a different style. At the end of the day, a lot of times you're looking for a good block, like a good basic shirt, a good basic pants that you can really make a lot of changes to give you a full wardrobe of different varying styles. So I'm not afraid to do that now that I have some experience under my belt.
And one thing that we noticed on your Instagram profile is that you say that sewing ignites your creativity. Can you tell us a bit more about how sewing does that for you?
Definitely. So for a while, when I left fashion school, I stopped doing all the things that I used to love. I used to draw. I used to just play with different things. And I needed that creative outlet. I felt like I was just kind of languishing, just not really doing much of anything that brought me a lot of immense joy. When I got back into sewing, or got into sewing, really, that joy was reignited. It helps. It makes me feel alive. It makes me like, oh, I can really think of some great things that I want to work with, especially when you see all the different great fabric that is available and all the different colors and different things like that. It just makes me think differently instead of thinking very linearly, or that every step has to be done in order of 1, 2, 3. With sewing, I really thought about, okay, I know this has to be done, but I feel that it would be easier if I do steps maybe 7, 8, and 9 first before doing all the pieces in the order that they first described. It also helped me realize that I'm not afraid to make mistakes. The same way that I've gotten familiar with my seam ripper, I can get familiar with making a mistake and be like, oops, that doesn't work. Let's try this again. Go back and redo it. So it really has helped bring about some very valuable life lessons.
Yeah. Yeah. Make friends with your seam ripper. That's a great life lesson. Oh, that's awesome. Well, Julian, we're so excited to talk about the Black Makers Matter Instagram account. For any of our listeners out there who are wondering, that account is BLK Makers Matter on Instagram. And you should definitely go follow them because they're doing amazing things right now. We're going to link all the awesome contributors in the show notes so you can follow them individually as well. But Julian, we'd love to hear first about the origin story of this Instagram account. How did it all come together, and why did you all come together to start this account?
It has definitely been a wild, wonderful ride that probably none of us really expected. But we all kind of came together at the behest of Monica, of Vaso Monica. What was going on, of course, with all the different social justice issues that are going on, not just in the United States, but internationally around the world. We saw the death of George Floyd. We saw the death of Breonna Taylor and many others. And this is not the first time that we have seen this, but we did start seeing a lot of companies making a stance for. And what was missing was that a lot of companies that we use in the crafting industry at that time were remaining silent. And that really hurt differently. Especially we as Black makers, we are part of the community, but have not always been visually seen. You don't see us in a lot of ads. You don't always see people that look like us. You don't see styles that reflect the things that we make. But then other times, companies would use our images or use our likeness, take pictures in, sometimes ask for permission before they share, sometimes not. We really wanted to say that we are wanting to see better in our community, especially as makers. I think we have the gift of being able to see what is not always in front of us. And that's not just in putting fabrics together, but that is also in daily life. And we really were trying to make sure that we are working to start seeing the things that we want to see, that there's that lasting systemic changes that are necessary, not just in the sewing and making community, but just in the world in general. So coming together, Black Maker Matter, we really envision a creative landscape that lovingly reflects Black makers, our voices, our diversity within the maker community. And luckily, so far, though it's only been less than 2 months currently, we're really starting to see those changes happening.
That's awesome. And what about you personally, when Monica reached out, why did you want to be a part of the coalition and be a part of the account?
Well, when it literally everything, we launched on a Friday, and a lot of the meetings and stuff started happening that Wednesday. It was very, very fast. But the idea of really working to see change in the community sparked me, and to really support these wonderful, wonderful Black women. I felt it was an honor to do that. As of right now, I'm the only guy on the governing body of the coalition. And I don't have a problem with that. But I really see it as my mission to make sure that Black women are always listened to and elevated, that they are valued for their ingenuity, for their gifts, for their crafts, for their brains, for everything. So I really felt it was an honor to really be a part of such a a needed and timely display of action, especially for me. I was trying to figure out what I could do with everything that was going on in the world. And with the spirit influence that I have in the creation space, this is something that I could really work to see change with. Because even before this, as things were happening, I was talking about it in my group and stuff like that. I would go live in the So Manly group, usually a few times a week, and we would talk about different things that were happening. And especially as we talk about things such as social justice and stuff like that, we talk about this from a systemic issue. This is not just something that happens in a silo. This is literally happening in all aspects of life and not something that people can turn off. So it comes into my sewing, because even going into some stores as a Black man into a sewing store, I do get crazy looks. I do get stares. People think that I don't know what I'm doing, or they don't understand why I'm there. So that is part of my experience. So to really bring about change so that other people don't feel the way that I have felt previously, I felt was really important for me.
Yeah, it is so important. And the work that you all are doing with Black Makers Matter is just wonderful. And seeing the growth in this account has been amazing. You have over 30,000 followers on Instagram in just 2 months, which totally blows my mind. And I think it just proves that the sewing community was ready for this. And hopefully, you know, you guys can continue this momentum and continue to incite this change in the community and this acknowledgement of the problems in the past and hopefully improving in the future to be more accepting and diverse and as a community, just better for Black makers. I want to know, like, what did that first meeting look like? It must have been so exciting to get together and have this vision as a group. What was it like to have that first meeting with everyone?
So I was invited into the second meeting. So they had a first meeting on a Wednesday, and some members were talking about who else needs to be at the table, and somebody suggested me. So they actually hit me up while I was in a live in my Facebook group to see if I could be part of the meeting. But just in talking, everybody was really filled with so much emotion, and there was a lot of hurt and anger at that moment. Some of the people who are part of the coalition work with different companies and brands that really had remained silent in a time when silence really spoke of complicity to what was going on, especially here in America. So we really wanted to make a statement that we are here too, and we're seen, and we are part of the community. A lot of times, hate to say it, and when you're looking at the demographics of how people market to customers and stuff like that, some craft companies really thought that the only people really crafting were that white, middle-aged woman, which none of us are. I think that there is, where the indie brands and stuff have really gotten it right, is that they realize there is such a diverse range of people and a diverse range of makers that some of the larger brands have not always grasped onto until recently. But we really want to make sure that we were seen like, hey, we're here and this is important to us, because for us, crafting, this is part of our self-care. This is something that we really spend a lot of time doing and putting time, effort, money into, because it brings us so much immense joy that we get tired of having to see something put out into the marketplace and have to try to squint, have to try to like shape our head. It's a different way to try to see ourselves in the image of what could be made. We want it to be seen as well, especially for new people trying to come into the community. When you do not see yourself, people doubt if you belong. We want to make sure people know that this is a welcoming space. And even if we have to make people uncomfortable, to know that everybody is welcome here, we're willing to do that.
Yeah, and we really appreciate that work. And we love that Black Makers Matter is holding companies in the sewing world accountable. And we were wondering if you could speak to why it's so important for companies, both big and small, to make it clear that they value and support Black makers.
I think for so many years, the value of the Black dollar has not always been seen as important. Though, especially in the America, I think there is a statistic that the black community has a kind of that net spending power of $1 trillion. That's more than some countries around in the world. But in a lot of advertisements and stuff, we were not seen. But when it came down to it, you would want our money. I think people need to realize that, especially now in the makers community, that people are really looking to shop with companies that have the same values and the same beliefs, or in alignment with the same values and beliefs that they do. So to say nothing in these moments, when there's companies that are saying something, that means that they value me. They see me as a person. They see me as somebody who has thoughts and feelings and is dealing with challenges on a daily basis. They see me as a person. I would rather spend my money with those who see me as a person than those who don't acknowledge my presence in a space. So as companies are putting out new lines or doing different advertisements, it's very important to really make sure that you are reflecting the full range of the beauty in the community. And really, in my opinion, it is a disservice to not do that. I think that especially as you look at the world, there are so many shades, there are so many hues, there's so many different shapes and sizes, so many different presentations that a person can come in. To not really reflect all the beauty that is there is just a disservice. You're not showing all the creative ways that can be expressed in the world. I really work to make sure that people can see all that is available.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's not just about these companies making that first statement of Black Lives Matter, which I do think is important. And I know that you all were pushing for that. But I think what you're saying about that follow through, where in the future, these companies are also having that diversity reflected in their marketing and in their imagery and in their advertising, is so, so important to actually prove that, yes, they get it, you know, and that they're actually going to incite real change in the future. And I hope that we can see that in these bigger companies and small companies as well. I think it's so, so important that we start seeing that in the community. One of the things we wanted to ask you about as well is the boycott, because maybe a month ago or so, where you were talking about boycotting some of the bigger companies who had not yet made statements. Can you talk a little bit more about that and how that all went down?
Sure. So in some of these companies, we were seeing a lot of, especially the larger chain stores, crafting stores, were not saying anything. And especially at a time when it was in the beginning of June, where they were still putting out pride messages, which is very important as well, but not saying anything about the importance of Black lives. A lot of people were saying things and companies were just being quiet still. And there have been still some companies that really have not done anything or made small performative measures without really addressing root issues and root causes for some of the issues that they face, especially in their marketing, in their leadership and stuff like that. So we thought a way for people to really have a better understanding of the importance and the value of shopping with your conscience and shopping with putting your money where your mouth is to boycott some of these larger companies, focusing on your smaller retailers, such as Black-owned and allied businesses. So we created a list. A list was created by Pink Mimosa by Jacinta, who is one of the makers in the coalition, that has this list of over 400 different retailers that offer different things and different supplies in the crafting space to really bring about giving people options besides going to your big box chains for to shop with. And we realized that not everybody can commit to a boycott or commit to this. But if you can do something just to kind of show that, hey, I shop with my conscience, or I have money and I have a conscience, and what you're doing does not really jive well with me, hopefully this brings about a lasting change. Because though we are here and we have this Instagram and stuff like that, we are really working to see lasting change. And it's a lot of things that are happening behind the scenes and meetings that are happening to really make sure that things that we see now are not just performative and in a year they're gone. We want to make sure that this is something that moves forward and that generations after us do not have to feel with the same feeling of being slighted that others, even in generations previous, have felt.
Yeah, absolutely. And for our listeners, the list that Julian just mentioned is the BIPOC-owned and ally-owned vendor list from Jacinta, and we'll link that in the show notes, but you can follow her, Pink Mimosa by Jacinta, on Instagram. I want to talk about these meetings, because we know that Black Makers Matter had meetings with the IG Design Group. That's the design group that owns the big four patterns, SVP Worldwide, which is Singer, Husqvarna, Pfaff, AFCI, Oliso, Bernina, Mood. So tell us, how did you even make these meetings happen and how did they go?
Since we have such a wide variety of makers on the coalition, as we grew, some of these companies reached out to us. Some of us had relationships with some of these companies, especially like with IG Design Group. There have been some issues previously. There was a pattern that they put out in their early summer launch that just did not show Black women in a great light. It was a skirt pattern, but with the coloring and the styling, it really just was not a good look. And that really started conversations. And they had recently had another change in leadership at the company. So that was one of the first meetings that we had. But since then, we've had ongoing meetings with them. We've had meetings with many other companies in the country, in the world, really. So places in the UK, in Canada, and stuff like that. These meetings really have been beneficial and have really been very honest. We make sure that, of course, always being respectful, but we are here to have honest conversations and to not back down for who we are. We are Black makers. We are really making sure that there is not just a seat at a table, but you hear us, that you see us, that you understand the importance and the cultural significance of making in our community. So these meetings really have been really going well, in my opinion. And I think there are going to be some great things coming in the pipeline soon.
Can you give us any hints as to what those things might be or what some common themes in those meetings, things that you discussed with those companies?
Oh, definitely. So I guess some of the common things that we have really been discussing is the need for making sure that there are people of color, Black people, and people of many diverse backgrounds at the table when decisions are made on marketing, decisions are made on in leadership positions or in directions of sales projections and stuff like that. So I think that there is really a opportunity for that community advisory model being used for a lot of these companies. Also, too, hopefully you'll be seeing different models and different styles, really being reflective of all the many different facets in the community, and not just in, like, say, a pattern company or a sewing machine company, but even just in what you see in the advertisements, making sure that it is very reflective, not just everybody's going to be that sample model size. We really have been talking about size inclusion. We've been talking about the inclusion of men. We've been talking about the inclusion of people in the LGBT community, those who are not always cisgender, all those type of things we find really important. And hopefully we will really start seeing those things being implemented here within probably the next 3 to 6 months. We'll start seeing a good shift to things that are a little bit more inclusive.
That is so awesome. And I really want to take a moment to say thank you to you and the coalition for doing these meetings. I know that's a ton of labor, and it makes me think about how oftentimes this labor falls on the Black making community to actually incite this change and hold these companies accountable. So how can the broader sewing community continue to hold companies accountable? What can, you know, your average sewist who may be listening to this podcast do to help make change in our community?
Ways that you can really help to create change in the community. First is really starting by educating yourself. I think it's really important to gain a better understanding and a knowledge of what's going on, the historical perspective. This is not something that is new. Literally, I mean, we're working against something that has been going on in the Northern American area since 1619. So this is a very ingrained hatred in many ways that is really needed to be understood. But also in educating yourself, that does not mean just to talk to your Black friend and ask them questions and expect them to explain everything to you. You need to really do the work yourself. Be willing to be present and be willing to be uncomfortable. There are so many different groups that you can follow. There are so many different podcasts and different things like that. There is like Black Women Stitch. There is other different groups just on Facebook and on Instagram. There are so many different stores that you can follow that really help to open your horizon of everything that is available and everything is possible, especially not just in terms of culturally, but also just in terms of design and fabric choices and different things like that. There's just a wide variety of things you probably had never thought were available when you just kind of go and search for it yourself. Also, too, if you see something, don't be afraid to speak up. So if there is an issue that you see with a brand, you can leave them a comment. Or if you don't feel like you want to do that, send them a message, send them an email. That is fine. There are people who are now listening to those things, especially if many of those things keep on coming up. More and more people are listening because they really are wanting to make sure that they are being responsive to the community, because they realize that people are not just absolutely buying. They are very conscious purchasers and conscious spenders. You can continue to follow Black Makers Matter, definitely. We will be doing a lot of great fun things as a way to engage the community and to help spread the message and help people be engaged with other people to try different things, to meet new people, but really be willing to be open to learning new things, to realizing that there might be some perspective outside of your own that are also important and valuable and have the same weight as yours. So really work to engage, not just in the maker community, but just in your community at large. There are many different meetings. There are many different organizations, the NAACP, the Urban Leagues, in areas that are always looking for work and are always doing the great work in the social justice area that is always needed. Another resource is there's the Social Justice Sewing Academy, who did a block for the National Quilt Museum in Paducah, Kentucky. They did an Erase Injustice block. They have a lot of great resources. And one great thing that they do is they work with youth to help them use the fiber arts to help bring about spreading their own messaging and to learn about them and to learn the different things that they're doing. They also have some learning resources that are available that can really help put things into context and maybe answer some more questions that people might have.
Thank you. Those are all really great suggestions. And I'd also love to know just what is next for Black Makers Matter? What is going to happen in the next year, next couple of years? What are you all planning for the next little while?
Well, since it has literally been, we are at less than 2 months. We're still trying to figure that out ourselves sometimes. But definitely, we do not see this ending anytime soon. We definitely see this as a opportunity to help educate and help empower and help bring the community together. So hopefully, especially once things get to a healthy space again, where we are able to really connect with one another, hopefully in person, we do see some great opportunities for bringing communities together to do trainings, to learn about different things. If there are so many different makers who are interested in the business aspect of the maker community, so that can be as an ambassador, an influencer, or starting their own company, that can use some help, they can use some mentorship, they can use a better understanding of those steps to get to a place of having a business that really is a space that we can see ourselves helping to connect people with. We might not be always the ones who are doing all the training, but if we know of people who have done it well and are looking to help others get to that same position, to connect people there. So we really see ourselves making sure that we are that place in the community to really bring about change. I know that even with these meetings, the way that we see it is that we are working to have a seat at the table, sometimes shake the table if things are not going the way that they need to do, or if necessary, build our own table. So we really see ourselves operating in those three different spheres to bring about lasting, promising change in our community.
And you all are doing an amazing job so far. I can't wait to see what comes next and what y'all can do in the future, because there's just so much potential in your coalition. And it's just so exciting that you are part of the community and that you're doing this. Thank you so much, Julianne, for coming on the show and chatting with us about your experience and Black Makers Matter. We're so impressed with what you all have achieved so far. And yeah, we can't wait to see what you do next.
Well, thank you so much. We love that you support us and that you're listening to us and that we are part of such a wonderful diverse community. We really look forward to everything that is to come now that some changes have started to be made.
Us too. We can't wait to see. Thank you again, Julianne, for your time. And we'll see you all over the sewing community online. I love watching your IGTV videos, especially in my sewing room. It's like you're in there with me.
Well, thank you.
Tell our listeners where they can find you online, Julian.
Sure. So you can find me at Julian Creates on Instagram. So that's J-U-L-I-A-N Creates. You can find me also in So Manly, which is S-E-W-M-A-N-L-Y on Facebook, which is our my sewing group, as well as Black Makers Matters, which is BLK Makers Matter on Instagram.
Awesome. We're going to link all of that in the show notes. It was such a pleasure talking to you today, Julian. Thank you so much again for coming on.
Thank you so much. It was wonderful.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, folks. We wanted to finish off this episode with a little chat with just the two of us so we can share with you our anti-racism action plan for the podcast, as well as some resources for you, and links to everything will be in the show notes as always.
Yes. We want to kick it off by taking a moment to acknowledge our white privilege. We are incredibly privileged, and a big reason we're able to make this show for you all is because of that privilege.
And as a podcast, we have the opportunity to amplify marginalized voices in our community. And this is something that we take really seriously. So we want to commit to this anti-racism action plan for the show and all of our other communications so that we have a plan moving forward and you, as our listeners, can hold us accountable.
Definitely. So the first thing on our list is to regularly and publicly donate money to charities and nonprofit organizations that align with our anti-racist values. So each month, we're going to donate 20% of our revenue to causes that actively promote positive change. This is big, 20%. I'm so excited about this number that we are able to do this. And if there are any charitable or nonprofit organizations that you would like to recommend to us, please contact us at hello@lovetosewpodcast.com. We have a list going of places that we'd like to donate to, but we would love our listener feedback on that because that's very important to us.
The next one is to allocate time and money to further our own anti-racism education. Our whole team wants to become better allies. We have myself, Helen, and Caroline as the hosts of the show. We also have Melanie behind the scenes. She does our show prep and our communication on Instagram and in our inbox. And then, of course, we have Sam, my partner, who does our editing and coordinates with our sponsors. So we do have a team of four here at the podcast, and we want to complete anti-racism courses and explore other resources like books, articles, and films together as a team. We meet once a week in our little Zoom hangout and we can chat there and discuss the lessons that we've learned from those resources. We're going to be dedicating time each month to actually dive into those discussions and their implications for us as a podcast and us as a team as well.
Yes. The next thing on our list is that we are setting the goal that 50% of our guests that come on the show will be from Black, Indigenous, or people of color communities. We always consider things such as interest, age, gender, ethnicity when we are selecting Love to Sew guests, but we recognize it's important to deliberately look for more guests from BIPOC communities. So moving forward, we're going to aim to have 50% of our guests represent BIPOC perspectives. And of those 50%, we'd like half of those guests to be Black.
Number four on our list is to highlight a more diverse range of makers in our communications overall. So as well as hosting the show, we do a lot of communicating on social media. That's where we love to engage with you all. And we want to take advantage of our opportunity to celebrate makers in marginalized and underrepresented niches of the broader sewing community. We also want to champion causes and community members that are fighting against racism and discrimination. And we can do this through mentions on the podcast, in our social media posts, and in our other communications like our newsletter. So again, if you want to reach out to us to share something with us that maybe you think would be a good fit for this kind of communication to share with the broader sewing community, please feel free to do so. We love hearing from you.
Yes. And we also want to diversify our team and the partners we work with. So like Helen mentioned, our podcast team is the two of us, Helen's partner, Sam, and our assistant, Melanie. We are all white. So if we do hire more people in the future for work on the show or work on special projects, we really look forward to actively soliciting engagement from BIPOC folks.
Yes. And that is our plan so far. But we want to say that it is a flexible plan. And we do want to be able to add things as they come up, incorporate your feedback. So if you have additional suggestions on how we can improve our anti-racism action plan and be better allies in our personal lives and in the broader sewing community, please, please, please reach out to us at hello@lovetosewpodcast.com. And lastly, we have some resources to recommend to you. These are things that our team has been engaging with and are finding really helpful in our journey journey to become better allies, so we wanted to share them with you today.
Yeah, so the first one would be the 1619 podcast from the New York Times.
Next is the Code Switch podcast. This is my current favorite show. It's so, so, so good.
Yes. Unreserved podcast. This is a CBC radio podcast focusing on Indigenous Canada.
Next is the book How to Be Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi.
And we're also loving the book So You Want to Talk About Race by Ijeoma Oluo.
Next is the 13th documentary on Netflix. It's focusing on scholars, activists, politicians, analyzing the criminalization of African Americans and the U.S. prison boom. Very, very insightful documentary. Highly recommend.
Yes. We're also going through Rachel Cargill's Do the Work course. It's a 30-day course, and it's designed to be an eye-opener and a call to action for those who seek to be allies to Black women.
Yes, that's something that we're doing as a team right now, and I have to say it is excellent. You get it as a newsletter in your inbox, and she could not make it easier to access the information, and it's just been really, really educational and excellent. And lastly, some hashtags. If you are an Instagram fan, hashtag Meatmakers of Color is a great one. We talked with Mac about that hashtag back in 2017, I think, and also the account Meatmakers of Color. Hashtag So in Color is a great one. And of course, Julian was on today talking about the Black Makers Matter Instagram account and everything they're doing. So definitely following some more hashtags, some more Facebook groups, as he recommended, just expanding your community, expanding the people that you're interacting with and the people that you're hearing from.
Yeah, absolutely. And we hope this episode is going to help everyone reflect on how they can do better and be better allies and help to have more representation in the community for Black folks out there. We really want to make sure that we are helping to make that happen. So thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Caroline, at blackbirdfabrics.com and Helen at helenscloset.patterns.com.
We're recording in Summary, BC, Canada, and you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
If you're loving the show and you want to help us out, you can support us on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month and you'll get access to our bonus episode feed. Contribute $10 or more a month and you will get a 15% discount code for both of our shops and a bonus mini-sode. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info.
Thank you to our incredible podcast team, Sam Humphrey and Melanie Brister, and thank you all so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Sorry, my mic feels low. Sorry.